Let's read a little bit from over in the book of Galatians. Today has been highly significant. Paul speaks in his writings of things that are allegoric. A lot of people, when you speak of types and shadows, they don't understand what you're saying. They don't know what you mean by types and shadows. But Paul speaks of types, shadows, and allegories, which things, he says in his writings, was an allegory. That was a type unto us. Whereas the Bible said these things happened in the Old Testament as a type unto us, or as an admonition unto us, which we're to follow after. And when God speaks of these things, we, if we're not spiritual, we don't understand. If we've not applied ourselves, we don't understand. But if we really apply ourselves and really desire to know, God will give us good understanding. The Bible said all of them that are born of the Lord are of a good understanding. Is there anything better to know? To go to college, to learn books and things, to learn about history from his story, as we say. It's handed down to us from one to another. Or to learn about, as the average person would learn in their early learning, about geography or the geological locations as to the geographics of Earth. Is that really important? Or to know about the different layers of the Earth, as to the different things of geologists, of science, of chemistry, or whatever it might be that we study. Science, falsely so called, the word meaning knowledge. Is all of that important? Well, it's important as to earthly habitation. It is important as to earthly security. It is important as to position and benefits in the earth. And it can be helpful to men. It can produce the electricity. It can produce many things in life. It can do many things for us. And if you go to college to study theology, that can do a lot of things. You can come up with a lot of theory as pertaining to the scriptures and theorize a lot of things. And you can become a Bible scholar as to quote the scripture or locate the passages of scripture. And of course, if not careful, spend your life disputing as to what is inspired and what is not inspired. But you know, really, when you stop to think about it, there is only one thing that is needful. Jesus said one time to a woman, she was a very wonderful woman according to the scriptures, a very, very official type person, and went about her duties well. But there was another woman that chose to sit at the feet of Jesus just to listen, just to learn. And Jesus said to Martha, Martha, he said, you care about a lot of things in this world. You're cumbered by a lot of things. You care for a lot of things. These things have a hold of you, Martha. They've got your mind. But Martha said, let Mary help. You know, she sits here and listens that you talk, Jesus, but I have to wash the dishes and I have to sweep the floor. Let her help me do something. Jesus said, Martha, Martha. You know, he said, Mary has chosen the better part. This is better than sweeping floors. And this is better than washing dishes. This is the best part of all. She has chosen the better part. Said, for what you've chosen, Martha, will be taken away from you. You'll die and leave it. Or it'll be taken away from you. This was in general the things that Jesus said. But he said, what Mary has chosen shall never be taken away from her. These are the words of spirit and the words of life. And they will never be taken away from her. You know, this is what happened to me in my early life. I started out working, making a living. I felt that was the thing to do. I wanted to build me a little house, give me a little piece of ground. I went on to do those things. And one day working in the yard, I heard the voice of the Lord say to me as it did Martha. And it called my name and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm busy. I'm making me a living. I'm fixing my yards. I'm building me a house.
And Satan said, well, why are you doing all that? I said, well, I'm going to have security. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have security. You're supposed to look forward to the future. And I heard a voice say, what future? I thought, well, everybody knows there's a future. You know, and I found myself, we say talking to ourselves. I wasn't talking to myself. There was somebody else that was talking to me because he kept asking questions that myself had not thought about. And so he said, what future? And I thought, well, the future of my wife and the future of my little children. My children were real small. I said, they've got to have education. They've got to have a home. Nobody's going to feed my family. I'm not going to leech off of anybody. I'm going to pay my way. And, of course, it was about that time that a little Methodist church, or a big Methodist church, you know, they found out Betty and I was there. And they wanted to help us. I was so independent, I said, you don't give me no help. I'll make my own way. I was, you know how folks are. But anyway, I was busy in the yard and I was working. I had my own little acre. And the Lord said, future. And I heard something say, tornadoes, all kind of bad things concerning the weather, bombs and destruction. I heard something say, diseases, dangers. And man, these things went around and around in my mind. And I said, my God, you know, this tore me up. Like the song I wrote, I quoted a little of it this morning. He showed me heartaches. And here's what he said. They that live in pleasure are among the dead. He showed me sorrow and tear demise. And when we talked it over, I changed my mind. I changed my mind, Lord, about a lot of things ever since I met the King. See, I changed my mind. When I heard all of this and God began to talk to me and I said, my God, Lord, there ain't no future. What am I doing? And did you know that right then and there, I left my job, I left my little old house, I left my little old piece of ground. And I mean, I was enthused. I was working day and night. So much that my neighbor told me, said you need to slow down. And Betty and I left and went away into the state of Nebraska and begin to work for God in the far-off fields. I heard somebody crying from the sacred desk that the need was great in Nebraska. See, and I went away. I went away to seek God. I went away to do like Mary. I left everything with Martha, and I went away. And I went my way, and I began to try to learn about God. And I decided that the faucet could keep leaking, and the dishwasher or the washing machine could keep leaking, and I decided that the top of the house could fall in, or they could tear it down and give it to the rats. I didn't care. I got me an old, dilapidated piece of car, and I got me a few suitcases, and Betty got a frying pan or two, and we put it in the back of that car, and we went off merry, merry. And you know, it's been merry, merry ever since, because I've chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and to do nothing but listen at Christ and to learn what He's got to say and to understand it. And since that time, God has given me houses and lands and planes and boats. He's given me cameras. He's given me tents. He's given me tractors. He's given me hundreds of thousands of dollars. God has added unto me. The Bible said if you seek the kingdom first, all of these things will be added unto you. And then besides that, God gave me the great understanding of Jesus, which was so important, the thing that I went after. So then, I did that because I found out that that was the right thing. Reading from Galatians in chapter 4, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. I want you to think on this now. He says here that you might be the heir to something. A great portion, an immeasurable sort. But he says, if you are a child, it doesn't make any difference. You don't get any benefit out of it because you are under tutors. You have guardians. And in that you are under these, then you don't get any benefit because you have to do exactly like the guardians say or you have to do exactly like the tutors say. So he says here, you differ nothing from a child. You might as well to be a child, he said. Her child is under tutors, and so are you. You are no different from a little child in that you can't use any of it. but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That's the bar mitzvah, remember. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptations, which was in my flesh, ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them, but it is good to be zealous affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one a bondsmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondswoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and entereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, and break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I said some things this morning that pertains to this very thing, as to the bonds child and the free child. But I'd like for you to think just a moment here. But when the fullness of the time was come, when the fullness of the time was come, I want you to think on that just a little bit. When the fullness of the time had come, this morning I spoke a little bit concerning the latter days. And we spoke of the man-child, and something took place this morning as pertaining to the man-child. It was something that was outstanding that took place pertaining to the man-child. So then, here it says, when the fullness of time had come. When the fullness of time had come. Now don't forget, God has given us this salvation in Christ before the world ever was. I did not get salvation when I was born. I did not get salvation at Calvary. The Bible said, and God gave this unto me before the world ever was. In Christ He gave it to me. And the Bible said He gave it to me by His foreknowledge. And Peter said, you are God's elect, according to foreknowledge of what God foreknew, and that God wrote your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And the Bible said all of them whose names were not found in the Book of Life wondered after the beast. And I say again, to wonder after the beast is to wonder after the flesh. Well, the Bible speaks of these that are without their beast, and some brute beast, made to be taken and burned. So then all of the world wondered after the football games and the baseball games and the television shows and the charismatic moves where there's no holiness or godliness required. All of the world wondered after the things of the flesh, for Satan, being the prince of this world, savors the things that be of the flesh. And they go hard after the things of the flesh, even the evangelists, even the great tent ministries. A lot of them are going after the flesh. See, all of the world wondered after the powder, the paint, the lipstick, the bobbed-off clothing, the tight form-fitting clothing, the bathing suits and the frolics, and Six Flags and the things of the world. They went after that. Even the churches of today are moving pool tables into the church. And they're bringing ball games into the church. And all of these things they're bringing in because of Satan and the pressure, the lust of the flesh. You know what it is? The bond's child, that people that's out in the world, Satan being the prince of this world, the great organization of what you refer to as the government of today. See, those people that are out there in that intellectual time or era of life, those people are suppressing the church. And those people are putting the church down as being a bunch of ignoramuses. And those people are saying to the church, you're not as smart as we are. You're not as wise as we are. You need to enjoy yourself. You need to have a little leisure. You know, you go to some psychiatrist and he says to you, you know, you've got to have 8 hours of relaxation and 8 hours of frolic and 8 hours of work and all these kind of things, and they program your mind to believe in what they tell you. See, the bond's child, and if you don't go their way and you don't do their things, they mock you. Well, the Bible said, and the bond's child mocked the free child. And they mock you because you don't go with them. And the Bible said they think it strange that you run not with them to the rioting of the things of this life and the lasciviousness of life. And so then they mock you. The bond's child always mocks the free child. But you know, all we've got to do is just withdraw. Just withdraw and say, I'm not of this world. I don't care for this world. I'm not taking roots in this world. I, as Abraham, I'm a son of Abraham. I confess that I'm a stranger, I'm a pilgrim, I'm seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. And so then you say, no, away with the world. I don't want any part of the world. And the bond's child they seek to mock, and they put you down. See, God said that this would happen. He said that's the way it was. But he said that that bond's child shall not be heir with my child. The bond's child shall not be heir with the child of God. He'll not be heir with the child of God. You know, it's one thing to talk about being heir with the child of God. It's another thing to know what an heir is. Whereas the Bible said we're heirs and joint heirs with the Christ. It's one thing to talk about that. It's one thing to think about that. It's another thing to really genuinely be an heir of salvation and know what God is speaking of. When God talks about an heir, He's talking about eternal riches. He's talking about the wisdom and the glory that made the diamonds and the pearls, that created the galaxies, that made the heavens, that made the stars. Paul said heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. He's talking about the great, wonderful knowledge of God, the ability of God to say what you will and it'll be done unto you. To say anything that you want to decree a thing in your heart, and it will come to pass, to have your heart's desire in anything you want, whether it be peace, whether it be happiness, whatever you want, you can have it. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now just to think, right at this moment, all of us are desiring. All of us are looking for something. All of us want something. See, we're not completely satisfied except in Jesus. Jesus said to the woman at the well, said, if you'd ask of me, I'll give you something that would have satisfied you, woman. He said, you come here to get water. He said, after you drink this water, you're going to come back. He said, but if you ever get a drink of this water I'm talking about, said, this will satisfy you. You won't worry about the water of the well anymore. All of this that I speak of, Jesus said, all of the glory of God, I'm heir to the glory of God. There's no one else that's heir. I alone am heir to the glory of God. I am the hope of your glory because I am the heir to the glory. Therefore, I'm the only heir to the glory. And if you don't have me in your heart, you don't have any hope of that glory. So then being heir to the glory of God, Jesus said to the woman, said, I'll give you something that satisfies even the waters of life. Won't have to come to this well to draw. But the bonds child mocks. The bonds child says, religion, what's that? What is that? What kind of excitement is there in religion? Well, I agree with you. There's not much excitement in religion. I think about the worst thing you can do is get religious. But I'll tell you something, folks. There's something exciting in salvation. Hallelujah. There is something exciting in salvation. Scientists spend many months probing into the things concerning the galaxies, looking and searching diligently. You know, they stay there. They stay pinned up. And it's nerve-wracking, but after a while they break through. And then comes the excitement, and everybody gathers around the launching pads. All around the launching pads, they gather, and things begin to buzz, and people begin to talk. Why? Because something is about to take place that's spectacular. And they're standing off. They're watching for the blast off. Why? Because the excitement is about to begin. And see, that's the way it is with a Christian. A person that's a genuine Christian that's really coming to God, they know what's going on. And they've spent their time with God. And they know that that exciting thing is about to take place. And with them, it's already taking place. And they're soaring high, high beyond the world. You know, like the vision I had that I speak of so often. I was high in the heavens. And I was looking at all of those beautiful things that was taking place in heaven. And seeing the great multitudes who were standing there looking up at me, I said, don't you see? Don't you see? And they didn't see. But beloved friend, I was looking at it. I saw it. See, so it's an exciting experience. It's exciting. To be a Christian is exciting. To be religious is one of the worst things I know of. Just to have to go to church and listen to the preacher and sit on the bench, I wouldn't do that for nothing. To me, that's the most boring thing that a person ever done. Unless they are in Christ, unless they can see, unless they can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's why they're having to put the ball games in. That's why they're having to put the pool tables in. And that's why they're having to bring the world into it. Because in doing that, they hold their congregation. And they can't hold their congregation other than that. The reason for that is because they have not shown them the spiritual things of God. They've never got their eyes open. They've never entered into that wonderful place called heaven. The Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. I've made you to sit together in heavenly places. And they've never gotten into those heavenly places. So then it speaks of the bonds child. It speaks of the free child. Folks, we've got something. Paul said, ye are an heir to these things. You are an heir to the throne. Whatever Christ is, that's what you are. See, and now, beloved, are we sons of God. Now we're still under the tutors, Paul said, until we come to the light of the glory of His unveiled face. That is to say, under the tutors, under the time of the bar mitzvah. That is shut up under the law, unto the faith of Jesus Christ, which afterwards should be revealed that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. That faith that come at Calvary, that faith that said it's finished. In the fullness of time, the Bible said God sent forth His Son. This Son was made of a woman, made under the law, came like any human being. But He said in the fullness of time, that was the fullness of time. That's what brought my salvation, as to bringing it to light, given to me in Christ before the world ever was, and then brought to light at Calvary. That is brought to the understanding of human beings, that the church ages might come forth, and down through the seven church ages this might be taught by the glorious angelic messengers that God would manifest it through. And so then, given to me in Christ, here, being an elect of God, I've escaped the pollutions of this world. I'm not under the bondage of the beggarly elements of this world. I'm not under the bondage of fear of death, because I have passed from death unto life. I shall never come into condemnation. I am not going around somewhere wondering if I'm going to sin. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin because he is born of God. I say this so often. Somebody says, if you'll hold on, Brother Pike, you won't sin. Holding on has nothing to do with it. I don't have that kind of strength to hold on. The thing is, unless I have God, God holds me. God keeps me in that position. God has given me the strength to hold on. I'm not worried about sinning. The Bible said he that is born of God, he cannot sin. It didn't say maybe he wouldn't sin if he would hold on or perhaps it would work out for him. He said he that is born of God cannot sin, he said. Because God's seed, even Christ, the word of faith, it dwells within you. It is on the inside of you. The seed remaineth in you. And you cannot sin because your justification is by faith in his righteousness. Therefore, God, having imputed righteousness unto us, we cannot sin because the seed of God remaineth in us and we're born of God. How can I be unborn when I'm born? Can I be unborn from my first birth? I'm born as a man into the world. Is it possible for me to be unborn? There's no way. There is no way that I can be unborn. There's nothing I can do with all of my intelligence, with all of scientists' intelligence. I can't be unborn because I am born of the flesh. The same way with my spiritual birth. I have been born to the Spirit. Can I then be unborn? No, I cannot be unborn. The Bible says to those that are not born again. He said if the leopard can change his spots and the Ethiopian can change his skin, then they that are accustomed to do evil can do good. Well, we know that's impossible. As God spoke to me one time, he said, look at these people going down the street. He said, supposing there's a German among them. There might be a Japanese, Ethiopian, whatever. He said, supposing there's a German among them. He said, because they are over here with these people, though the people be of a different nationality, said, does that change them from being a German? Said, though they are among all kinds of people, said, still they are a German. They were German born, said, can it change them? I thought, there's no way, God, you can change a man from being a German. If he's born a German, he's a German. If you're born an American, you're an American. There's no way you could change that, even if a person defects or even if a person goes to another country or whatever, it still wouldn't change the fact they are an American in another country because they were born in America. See, and that's the way it is. I was born of the Spirit of God. I was born of God's righteousness. God has begotten me through the gospel in Christ. And I am God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, predestinated before the world ever was. In God's foreknowledge as unto election, I am God's elect. I am made righteousness by the righteousness of God. I am thus made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And God has made me his workmanship in Christ. He has sealed me that I cannot sin against him. There is no way I can sin against him because God sealed me. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Even the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of you that has sealed your spirit. Don't grieve that spirit. Said, for he has sealed your spirit unto the day that God redeems or changes your body. Thessalonians change. Or seal not, or grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. And so God, in the fullness of time, God sent his own Son, the likeness of my sinful image and your sinful image, to forever do away with that image in his presence. To ever do away with it. And God raised it up. And he smote it at Calvary, he laid it away, delivered Christ from my offenses, and then he raised him up in another form, the Bible said, for my justification. He was delivered from my offenses as one form. He was raised for my justification. Well, that is, God delivered him as a sinful image, in a sinful form, and made him sin, even my sin. And then God purged me, and God brought Jesus through the flames of the fire, took him past the grave, and raised him up in another form, even in the form of righteousness, even in the glorified body, so much that he walked right through the walls. He came forth in another form. God raised him up in another form, even the form of righteousness. So I say that because of what Jesus did for me, my sins are gone. As the songwriter said, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in God's sea of forgetfulness. And that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. See, when we say my sins are gone, can you actually get up and testify today and say, hey, my sins are gone. And tomorrow you say, well, my sins are back. My, the Lord didn't do a very good job of it, if that be the case. Isn't that right? If your sins left yesterday and it come back today, then He didn't do a good job of it. But the Bible teaches that He said, it's finished. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. The Bible said He heard the groaning of the prisoners. And that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. God looked down from heaven, and God heard the groaning of the prisoners. And the Bible said, God loosed them that was appointed unto death, and succored us in the day accepted. So then God loosed them that was appointed unto death. And I say to you again today, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But aren't you glad that you're not a man? Aren't you glad that you're not a man? I said, the Bible said, and it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But aren't you glad that you're not a man? See, I one time was a man. I one time was a living soul, and God appointed me unto death. And then Christ heard my groaning as a prisoner, and God came down and loosed me from that appointment and broke the appointment of death, saying, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The appointment is unto you. In that in Adam all die. But He said, now in Christ I loose that. I take it away. And Jesus said, he that believeth on me, he that heareth my words and believeth on Him that sent me, he shall never come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And He said, the first man born of the flesh is of the flesh. Born as a living soul, he's a living soul unto death. By the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But he that is born of the Spirit, he is a quickening spirit. He has passed from death unto life. He is not a man. He's already paid his debt to society, as we say. He's already paid his debt. When Jesus died, that took it away. I was buried in the water in His lovely name. Lost my identity in death. To come forth in the resurrection. That it might not be me living, as Paul said, but Christ living on the inside of me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. So then I said that to say this. I'm free from sin and corruption. God has delivered me from this world and all of the corruption of this world. And I'm free from that. So then I pass from death unto life. And I'll never come into condemnation. Being born of God, it is utterly impossible for me to sin. Therefore, how can I die? I say this so often. If the sting of death is sin, and if there is no sin anymore, how can I then feel the sting of death? Jesus said, I broke the appointment. Now you pass from death unto life, and you shall never come into condemnation. There is a sentence of life in you that believe, just as there was a sentence of death in them that disbelieve. God appointed them unto death because of the sins of Adam. So in Adam all die. But the Bible said, inasmuch as death came by one man, and death came by man, so then in the fullness of time God sent forth His Son Jesus as appointing us unto life. As in one man all die, as in one man all live. As in the sentence unto death, so is the sentence unto life of the second man Adam. And so then we don't have to worry about sin, because God has taken away our sins, and we are free from sin. This is why we praise God. This is why we give glory to God. This is why we're happy. This is why we run over in our spirit. David said, my cup runs over. What would I have to praise God for? If I'm just kind of nipping along, you know, and just kind of nip and tuck, and I think I'll make it and think I won't make it, and I'm up in one revival and down in another revival, and it's a matter of whether I fasted enough or prayed enough or done what I supposed to enough. You know, what's the need of me praising God? Why should I give God glory? God isn't doing anything. The Bible said if it's works, then you can boast. If I'm doing the works, why can't I boast about it? I'm the one that's doing it. God isn't doing it. But then if it be of God, and the righteousness must excel that of the Pharisees, as Jesus said, which is human endeavor. It must be the righteousness of God, which is in Christ. So then, if that be the case, then God is giving the righteousness. God did the works. God is the one. As I preached the other day, they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God, that you believe on Him that the Father sent. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. It is the merit, not merited by you, but by Jesus Christ. Therefore, shut up under the law till the fullness of time, and then comes the broken appointment of death, and then comes the sons of God. So then, where was you, Job? He said, when the sons of God leaped for joy before the world ever was. That is to say, written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God, by His foreknowledge, looking down through the telescope of time, saw them sons of God out here leaping for joy and praising Him. So then, can we see Him? No, there is no way we can see Him. Why? God has succored us in a time appointed. He broke the appointment of death. Can I then die? How can I die? If death comes of sin, how can I die? There is no sin. God has taken away the sins. Therefore, if there is no sin, how can I die? If the sting of death is sin, then where is sin? The Bible said, you cannot sin. So then where is the sting of death? If there's no sin, there's no death. This is why the Bible said that God folded up the law, laid the law away, because transgression of the law is sin, and where there's no law, there is no transgression, and where there's no transgression, there is no sin, and where there's no sin, there is no death. O death, where is thy sting and grave? Where is your victory? In that death doesn't have a sting. So then, why shouldn't I be happy? Why shouldn't I find myself over in the early hours of the morning saying, my God, my God, I get carried away and I'll be praying, and God will begin to speak to me, and God will begin to do these things, and God will begin to say these things to me. And as they open up in my mind and in my heart and excite my spirit, I say, my God, oh God, this is so great, this is so wonderful, to rejoice forevermore. Why shouldn't I rejoice forevermore? If I go around dreading that I'm going to sin, then I'm dreading that I'm going to die. If I'm going to die, Solomon said, all that I've got I've left to another. But if I've got a conversation in heaven, if I'm laying up treasures in heaven and I'm rejoicing in Christ, and I'm not worried about sinning, then I'm not worried about dying, why should I be in a spirit of heaviness? The Bible said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let it be afraid. You have the power to keep yourself in the evil one, touch you not. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So I say, hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, why do you do that, Brother Pike? Because I'm happy, folks. I'm happy. My sins are gone. Death is forever gone. Death is conquered. Death is no more. I'm free from death. I'm free from death. I'm free from the law of sin and death, Paul said. I'm not under bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. I'm not caught in those things. I'm free from death. Why shouldn't I be happy? Scientists is trying to figure it out. Millionaires and billionaires are spending their fortunes trying to perfect some kind of medicine or bring up some kind of knowledge that will give life. And here I am. I've already got it. You say, I can't believe that. Well, I hate that, you know. That makes me feel bad. Because I wish you could believe it. It is so wonderful. If you don't believe it, you can't have it. Somebody said, now that's a neat little thing, you know. You done hatched up something here. If it don't work the way you want it, you don't get it. I'm afraid that's right. Only thing is, I didn't hatch it up. God brought it forth and gave it to me. So then, if you can't believe it, you can't have it. As I preach this morning, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. God thought a world into existence and said, when the thoughts came, he said, let there be. And the word was in the beginning, and the world came forth. And God says to you in your heart, what do you think? Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Do you believe that you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh? Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, I believe that because the Bible says it. Well, doesn't the Bible say the other? So you say, I believe that, Brother Pike, because the Bible says it. But tell me something. How can you be bone of his bone? And how can you be flesh of his flesh if you're still sinning? Where did his flesh ever sin? Where did his bones ever sin? Where did God ever sin? How could that be? That you couldn't possibly be a son of God. See, now, beloved, I'm a son of God. The Bible said, it does not yet appear what I shall be like so far as the change of my body. But my inner man has already been translated into the kingdom of God. My flesh profiteth nothing. My spirit leaves my flesh at death. Moves out of this little tabernacle. I know that I've passed from death into life. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike? Because I don't have the love of the world in me. You don't know that you have because you still have the love of the world in you. I don't care for the things of the world. I found God. I passed from death unto life. Therefore, God has made me secure. God has hid me. God has chosen me out of this world. I'm no longer in the world. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you know you're in the world. I'm not in the world. The Bible said God has chosen me out of the world. And God has hid me in Christ. God has hid me in Christ. I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the change of the body and of this world, which is called the millennium or the restoring of all things. So then, I am hid with Christ. I'm not in the world. Neither am I on the world. And I don't walk in the flesh. Neither do I war after the flesh. Neither is my desire in the flesh. But I think of God, the casting down of imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So then, the fullness of time, Jesus said, it is finished. The fullness of time, he said, it is finished. There is nothing Brother Pike can add to it. There is nothing any other evangelist can add to it. There is nothing that any philosopher, any professor can add to it. He said, what I've done, and I've done it well, and I've finished it. Nobody can add anything to it. And I've said this a lot of times, it's for sure if the blood of Jesus didn't cleanse you and didn't save you, it's for sure that there's nothing that I as a preacher or any other preacher can say to you that's going to get you clean. But there's one thing I'm sent here for, and that is for the perfecting of your faith in these eternal securities, in these eternal promises, to tell you of these promises as any lawyer would read to you your rights, and to tell you of these great benefits to convince you that you're to believe in what this book says, and to believe in these things of God. Because that faith, if you do that, then I'm perfecting your faith. And after a while, you get to believing that, and you say, my God, wait a minute. This is what the book says. This is what the Bible says. Am I now eternal, or am I to become eternal? Have I now passed from death unto life, or am I to pass from death unto life? Am I now without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or am I to pass into a certain time and age to where I'm going to get without spot and without blemish? Let me ask you a question. Isn't it a true fact that the average individual that's religious, their mode of thinking is like this? You know, another day, God, wait a little while. I'm just not just where I ought to be, but I'm still trying, God. Give me another day. And sure enough, another day comes. And when you get that day, you think, Lord, if you just give me another day. And sure enough, you get another day. And after that, you think, now, God, just take a few more days, a few more weeks, a few more months. And God gives you that. And then after that, you think, Lord, just wait a little while. Have you ever got any better? No, you're getting worse all the time. The whole church world is getting worse all the time. The Bible said if God didn't shorten the days for the elect, there wouldn't be none of them saved. Wouldn't be no flesh saved. He'd have to destroy all of it. So then, folks, let's wake up and let's realize that our righteousness is of God. Our perfection is of God. This sinlessness is of God. This is what God has done for us. The only thing that we've got to remember is this one thing, that until you repent of your sins, until you make every diligence, every effort to be perfect before Him, you're not eligible for this. Because when you've done all that you can, all that you can, you're still going to be like filthy rags in His sight. The righteousness of man availeth nothing. But until you've done all that you can, everything that you can, to think right, to talk right, to be right, to do right, this grace does not apply to you. But after you've done all that you can, and then you're going to fail. But because you did all that you could do, God has given you justification by faith of Christ Jesus, and have imputed unto you righteousness through faith, or by faith. You have this righteousness which is of God because you've done everything that you know to please Him. You've done everything you know to walk right. You've done everything you could to be holy and godly and upright. And because you made that effort, God has given you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But folks, if you don't make that effort, you don't get nothing. You don't get nothing. If you take that charismatic outlook of happy-go-lucky and I'm going to be thus and thus because God has given me this righteousness through the grace of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that you don't have any grace, that you're in disgrace. And that's the only grace that you've got. If you don't walk right and talk right and try to be holy, and as the Bible said, go on to perfection, you don't even get anything. your heart is not right with God and you're in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity and you'll be cut off. But I'll tell you something, folks. If you'll do your best to be holy and you'll do your best to be godly and you'll add to your experience brotherly love and godliness and all these things that God spoke of, God will give you His righteousness. Hallelujah. When you stumble and stagger, you don't have to condemn yourself. The Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself in that thing which he allowed. I don't have to put a breach in my faith because I stumbled when I was trying. When I was trying to do my best, I stumbled, I staggered, I got beside myself trying to do my best. I don't have to worry. I don't have to condemn myself. I'm not going to mess with my faith. I'm not going to cast away my faith that hath great recompense of reward. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, Jesus, I love you. I didn't mean to do it. You know, God, I was doing my very best when the devil tripped me. But glory to God, he didn't hurt me. I'm on my way. Hallelujah. Didn't hurt me a bit. Didn't move me a bit. Didn't spot my righteousness, not one bit. He never spotted me one time. My faith is still strong in thee, God. And I've got a sure faith of resistance. And I've got the shield of faith that will turn the devil away and quench all the fire darts of the wicked, and we'll just ride from mountaintop to mountaintop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus went into the valley that we might ride from mountaintop to mountaintop. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. So in the fullness of time, he appropriated this. Don't let the old bonds child move you. Don't be shook up. Remember, you've got something to shout about. You've got something to praise God over. You've got something to be glad about. Hear those words of life. Jesus said, folks, listen to my words. Hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. He said, for my words are spirit. They're not just some sound that strikes the nerves in the ear. He said, this is words of the eternal life. These are words that does just not go into your intellectual reasoning, but they go into your heart. And they are words and sound until they strike your ears, and then they are thoughts that find root in your heart. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Decree a thing in your heart, and it shall come to pass. So then, I'm glad that I'm a son of God. I'm not trying to get to be a son of God. I'm not trying to wait for another day to get better. I do ask the Lord a lot of times to give me another day. But you say, why do you do that, Brother Pike? So I can do more for him. I want to do more for him. I want to tell somebody else about this wonderful, wonderful salvation. But so far as needing another day to get right, I don't need another day to get right. Before I was ever born into this world, I was right. The prophet said, before my members was ever formed in my mother's womb, God knew me, called me to be a prophet, and ordained me a prophet to the nations. My justification is of God. Even before Judas came into the world, I remind you again, the Bible said, let another his bishopric take. Jacob and Esau not yet being born. The Bible said that it might stand of the calling of God and not of works. He said, let the elder serve the younger. And he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And the children having not yet done any good nor evil, but by foreknowledge God foresaw the attitude of Jacob and Esau. And he chose them according to what he foreknew. Therefore he elected them unto grace, and we are God's elect by what he foreknew of our lives. Looking down through the telescope of time, he foresaw, he foreknew, and he knew how we were going to conduct ourselves, what kind of attitude we was going to have, whether we was going to try to deceive our fellow man, whether we was going to love the things of the world, whether we was going to be a deceptive people or a people of truth. And God elected us unto grace and wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life accordingly. I think that's wonderful. And the Bible said, them that he did foreknow, and them that he did elect unto grace. The Bible said he also did justify, and the Bible said he also did sanctify, and he also did glorify. For the Bible said, God hath perfected forever, that is made perfect forever, them that are sanctified. And the Bible said, God has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And the Bible said, them that he pre-knew, he predestinated. Or foreknew, he predestinated, that they might be his finished works in Christ. Therefore he has justified us, the Bible said. He has sanctified us, and the Bible said, and he hath glorified us. So therefore, in God's foreknowledge, he sees us as a finished product. He sees us as a glorified image, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh. What can we say to these things? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's people who is his elect? Christ is the one that justifies. Oh, that makes me feel like singing. That makes me feel like singing. To know that you get tired and you get weary, and to know that you have problems, just multiplied problems, man, is a few days and full of trouble. And yet, beyond it all, underneath all the rubbish, there is that heavenly kingdom. There is eternal life. There's perfect security. There is that positive, positive faith of Jesus Christ within my heart that tells me I am His. Whether I live, I'm His. Whether I die or that is sleep, I'm His in that I cannot die. But whether I go to sleep in my body or not, I am still His. I am still His. You know the sermon we preach concerning death and sleep. There's a great variation. There's a great differentiating. And you have to understand what Jesus meant when He said, Lazarus sleepeth. So then, this is wonderful. I want you to stand with me. I won't keep you any longer. I just thought I'd exhort you a little bit tonight. Something great has taken place today. Something great and mighty that will change the whole course of the world and the whole trend of Christianity. Halley's Comet has to do with it. The comet coming in at this time has to do with it. Just like we spoke about that, of those great phenomenal things taking place at the time of Kohotek. Wrote it in spiritual conquest, and you know how it's come to pass. So it is with Halley's Comet. It has to do with the same thing, except it has to do with Christ rather than Lucifer. Great phenomenal things, great and mighty things. The Bible said, ask of me and I will show you great and mighty things. Paul said, even to the heavenly treasures of God in His knowledge, being made known or revealed to us, having these heavenly treasures in our little earthen vessels. What a wonderful thing. How great is God? How great is God? Sarah, he said, why did you laugh? Is there anything too hard for God? Well, this morning we dropped in a few present-day truths, a few revelations of the Son of God as to what was happening at this very moment. Every once in a while we do that. And then, of course, we go on, preach the Scripture, or to try to explain a little bit of the Scripture as tonight. What are you? Are you a bonds child? You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean a bonds child? If you have the love of the world in you, then that means you are in bondage to the things of this world. And Paul said, compared to heavenly things, these are beggarly elements. If you are in bondage to the things of this world and the excitement of this world, he said, you are a bonds child. For you are in bondage to these beggarly elements. He said, look at Abraham's wives. There was Sarah. He said, now that was New Jerusalem. Typical, types, shadows, allegory. Can a woman represent a holy city? He said, she did. He said, now there is your holy city. Sarah represents it. Barren, one child, even Isaac. The son of promise. Not a son by the flesh. As to the will of flesh, Jesus was not begotten as to the will of the flesh or as to the desire of the flesh, but it was the will of the heavenly Father. Therefore, Isaac, Sarah, and then he said Hagar. Said Hagar was not a free woman. She was under bondage to Sarah. She was under bondage to Abraham. She was a bondsmaid. Ishmael, born concerning the bondswoman. That was the bonds child. He mocked the free child. That was the sin and error of Abraham's and Sarah's life. So then, Hagar, she answers to Mount Sinai, which is Jerusalem, which is today, in bondage with intellectual reasoning and ritualistics and the law and all of those things that cannot profit them, in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. Said that Hagar, Jerusalem be the head of the nations. So at this point, all of the nations are the bonds child. But with heavenly Jerusalem, with the true Jew, with he that is a spiritual son of God, even Isaac, the son of promise, that's born by spiritual birth. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. So then, with that, he said, now this answers to heavenly Jerusalem, which is free from the bondage of the world and the beggarly elements. And it hath no power on the children that is born to Sarah. because this is the Son of promise. Isn't it wonderful? Father Abraham. The Jews said, he's our father. Jesus said, don't say that. God's able to raise up stones to him. Said, you need to get right. Said, you're not right. The gall of bitterness, the bonds of iniquity, your heart's not right with God. Said, you need to get right with God. If the love of the world is in you, then you are a bonds child. The love of the Father is not there. But if the love of heavenly things and spiritual things, the love of God, if it's in you, then, beloved friend, that means that you can never die. It means you pass from death unto life. Your fears and frustration and anxieties of death are over. You don't have to worry anymore. It's all finished, Jesus said, in the fullness of time. He sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, and gathered all things in heaven and earth into the ark of Noah. All things. Started a new world. And the songwriter said, I'm in a new world since the Lord has saved me. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. For I'm a new creature in Christ. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing that little chorus, I love him because he's mine. Oh, I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus, he's the Nazarene. I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus, he's the Nazarene. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. There is room at the cross for you. Although many, while we're singing this song, step down to the altar tonight. Today has been a great, great, outstanding, magnificent day. And there is something that has taken place in a great, phenomenal way. And because of this, it wouldn't hurt if tonight we just gather together and refresh ourselves in the Lord and rededicate our lives from this point on, asking God to help us. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You know, it would be terrible if we came down to the end of the way and then all of a sudden we discovered, as I said the other night, that the last one that could be saved had already come in. And there was no more room. No, not even for one. But the doors had been closed. You say, Brother Pike, God wouldn't do that. Did you know The Bible said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. For once the master has risen up and shut to the door, they shall begin to knock, and they will call from without, saying, open unto me, open unto me. Esau wept. He shed tears, and he said, Father, is there not something for me, even me? Don't you have anything left for me? But Isaac said, too late, too late. Thy brother shall rule over thee, Esau. Thy brother, even thy brother, shall rule over thee. See, I say this again. Esau didn't place too much emphasis on spiritual things, did he? You know, he'd rather eat, drink, go hunting. He'd rather ride. He'd rather do the things of that day as to the frolics and as to the sufficiency of the flesh, as to his own desire and satisfaction. See, and he didn't care too much about spiritual things, Esau. He didn't care too much about waiting on God. And at that time, there was no inheritance. But there was plenty to do in the world. But Jacob wasn't like that. Jacob just within his heart decided, I'll patiently wait. Take a little time and the days will pass by. But I remember what my mother said. I remember how she told me of this great thing that happened to her. And this great vision of God. And I'm going to wait patiently. I believe in the Word. I believe in the Word. God gave the Word, and my mother told me, and I believe in the Word. I believe it's going to be exactly like God said. And so he patiently waited. And there came the time when Esau came from the field, and the Bible says that he was faint. He was hungry. He needed something natural. You know, you begin to hunger in the flesh. You get a desire to do the things of the world. You want to be out in the world. And there is a hunger. And you'll go to the hog pens as the prodigal did. And the Bible said he would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, had it not been for God bringing him to his senses. See, and so then Esau, he was hungry. He said, I want something to eat. Jacob said, I've got some pottage. Said, I'll make a deal with you. Said, you don't care nothing about that birthright. He didn't say it like that. But I'm sure that this is what he meant. You don't care nothing about that birthright, Esau. What is it to you? You don't care for it. You'd rather do the things of the world. Said, I'll give you some of this pottage if you'll give me the birthright. Esau said, no, you can have it. Said, what good is the birthright? Said, right now I need something for my tummy. Remember, the Bible said, and God put the old serpent on his belly, and he sold out. All of the labors for the belly, because the belly craves it of you. John said, a generation of vipers. And so then he sold his birthright, and then there came the day of inheritance. Folks, it's coming. That day is coming. The day of the inheritance is coming. And if you sell your birthright to God and his kingdom for a morsel of bread, there's Judas, 30 pieces of silver, the foolish things and beggarly elements of this world, you're going to scream and you're going to cry. You're going to do like Esau. But you're not going to find any place of repentance, because repentance is not given to you through tears. It is something that's given from God. He sought repentance with bitter tears, but he found no place of repentance because the birthright was gone. When the birthright is gone, the door is shut to, there is no more place of repentance. For I say again, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of God, they are without repentance. They are given by foreknowledge. They are without repentance. You cannot come and repent and get these things. Even though when God gives them to you, you do repent. But you do not get them through repentance. Many hundreds and thousands of people have repented, laying the foundation of repentance over and over. But they had dead works, dead faith. And God didn't give them salvation. They went away the same way they came, though they thought they had salvation. But Esau found no place of repentance. God did not grant him repentance. God has said to you and I, as saints of God, that we should pray that he would grant repentance to them that are without, lest they find no place of repentance. We are his divine intercessor, standing in Christ's stead,
beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God, as high priest, as a royal priesthood, interceding as the body of the Lord Jesus. So then Esau found no place of repentance, and there came the day of the inheritance. There came the day of the birthright. And Esau hurried to his father's side to get his inheritance, but it was too late. Somebody says, yeah, that conniving Jacob, surplanter as they call him, went in there and stole that boy's birthright. No, he didn't. He didn't steal the man's birthright. God himself said, as it is written, the elder shall serve the younger. God gave it to him. Somebody says, yeah, the cruelness of God. There he was, poor Esau, never having been born. And here he gives Jacob the birthright. No, that isn't right either. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? God foresaw the foolishness of Esau's heart. He foresaw that he wasn't going to be concerned about spiritual things. That he was going to revel in the world. He was going after the things of the world. He was going to desire the satisfaction of the flesh. And God looked down and saw it and said, "It's this birthright that goes to the firstborn is going to be Jacob's. It's going to be Jacob's because of the foolishness of Esau. I see how he will foolishly throw his birthright away." And so then God gave it to him. You love the Lord? Ain't you glad that God foresaw you and wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life and that God gave you the birthright? Would you sell your birthright tonight? Would you like to sell it tonight? There's some folks that's in the buying business. When the midnight cry comes and they start crying for the oil, they're going to say, go to them that sell. You know, there's evangelists that sell anything. You can get anything you want. Just go out there. They'll sell it to you. They got bottles of oil and all kinds of things. Holy water and shoestrings. Red strings. Someone sent me some not too long ago. One of their blessing red strings. As a matter of fact, David Paul was showing me one he got too. But did you know, folks, that you'll have to go to them that sell to try to get some oil? But right now, God's giving it away. He don't sell it. Buy the truth and sell it not. He's giving it away. Would you like to have this oil? Would you like to have this oil? The man saw the rainbow over olive branch, saw the dove come down into the rainbow, saw the oil drip down from the rainbow upon the people, and said the people were blessed. Would you like to have this oil? Would you like to sell your birthright? Everyone that would like to sell their birthright, I'd like for you to raise your hand. Everyone that would like to keep your birthright and you don't want to sell your birthright, raise your hand. All right, now, if this be true, why is it that you play around with the world? Why is it that you take up time with the world? Why is it you do the things that Esau done? Isn't that the way he lost his birthright? He kept getting more hungry for the things of the world until he lost sight of the birthright and it didn't have much value to it. And so then he lost it. Aren't you going to do the same thing? If you keep on with your businesses, if you keep on with your frolics, if you keep on going after the things of the world and listening to the things on the radio you do, watching things on TV that's non-virtuous, reading the things in the newspaper that's non-virtuous and going after the world and conforming to the world, aren't you going to lose your birthright? Isn't that the way Esau did it? When he come to his senses, he cried, didn't he? Didn't he do that? But it's going to be too late. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But it'll be too late. Didn't Judas hang himself after he lost his birthright? He hanged himself. Why? Because his birthright was gone. No place of repentance because Judas willfully transgressed. After having come to the knowledge of the truth, one time known the things of God, tasted of the heavenly gift, been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, then falling away, it is impossible to renew you again under repentance, seeing that you crucify Christ afresh and put him to an open shame. I want you to lift your hands with me. I want to pray with you. I want to ask God to help you. The Bible said it shall not be the minister speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking from within him. And he that the minister blesses shall be blessed. And he that the minister curses shall be cursed. And you know what? No true child of God is a minister. No true child of God would want to curse someone that's struggling to get in. You wouldn't want to step on a little fella's fingers, shut the door on him when he was out in the cold, begging to get out of the snow or the ice, would you? No real minister with the love of God wants to see anyone lost. He doesn't want to curse anyone. But, beloved friend, there's nothing else he can do. For can he bless that which God has cursed? Or can he curse that which God has blessed? Is he not a vessel? Must not he do what God has commanded him to do? So then tonight, let the blessing of the Lord come upon you. Call upon the name of Jesus. Call upon him while he's near. Call upon him while you can get in touch with him. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Let's lift our hands tonight as we examine ourselves to see if our conviction is in the faith. For many shall depart from the faith in the latter times, as I so often remind you, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, not biblical teachings, but ideology and doctrines that man has cunningly brought out. Whereas there's no faith. Though you believe, there is no faith except by the hearing of the word. For faith unto salvation comes by the hearing of the word. They will depart from the hearing of the word. For there shall be a famine in the land for the hearing of the word. And they'll depart from the hearing of the word, which means they will depart from the faith in the latter times. In the latter times they shall depart from the faith of God. And they'll give heed to all these other things that work in accord with their fleshly ego and their gullible desires to the love of the world. To add darkness to light, to try to mix darkness with light. That's horrible, that's bad. I don't want to do that to you. Let's come out from among them, be a separate people. Let's follow the light, for you're children of the light. And let your light so shine that men may see your good works, works with your faith, good works, that they may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Father God of heaven, as I lift my hands toward you tonight, though I'm less than the least among the people of God, less than nothing, but I do care, Father. I care for you, and I care for your ways and your desire and your kingdom in the earth. I do care, Father, and I care for the things of God, and I care for your lovely children. I care for your lovely children. And, oh, Father, you've not lost to one of them, saving the son of perdition. Oh, God, I ask of thee tonight, stretch forth your hand to bless tonight. I bless these, your people, not only these that are standing here, but everyone that can hear my voice around the nation of the different parts of the world. I bless them in Jesus Christ's name. And you said whoever I blessed would be blessed. I bless them, oh God, that they may be blessed and they may receive spiritually, physically, and naturally, oh God, with all blessings. I bless them that they may receive the blessing they need, even the financial blessing. And oh God, help them to seek the kingdom, that all of these things might be added unto them, that their cup may be run over. And dear God, I speak healing to them. May their cup run over, that they will share this joy and jubilance and their financial blessings and their physical blessings with others, more than they can contain of themselves. Let it be, Father. And I speak healing to these people according to their faith in the word. And I remit their sins, O God, according to the word of God. For you said, whosoever sins I remitted would be remitted, and whosoever sins I retained would be retained. And whatever I bound on earth would be bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I loose the sins from these people. I remit their sins according to their faith in this word of God. I remit their sins, that their sins be forgiven in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Even as Christ Jesus said to the man that he healed, thy sins be forgiven thee. So then, Father, may their sins be forgiven them. May they realize that their sins are gone. They're underneath the blood, the cross of Calvary. And oh, Father, that their sins are gone. Christ Jesus took it away. And in that they believe in this wonderful message, in this wonderful word, they are without sin, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. They're your darling children. And may their faith look up to you without condemnation.
that they may receive a full reward and a full blessing. O God of heaven, may this be. May this be, my Father. I beg of Thee in Jesus' name, may this be. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? We're going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're going to enter God's courts with praise. We're going to say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter God's courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Don't you love the Lord? How do you believe that Jesus is with us tonight? God is with us, and God is seeking to bless us. But it's up to you and I to conform to His way and His desire. The more that we conform is to contribute to God the praise and the honor and the glory, and to make our lives conform to His way, the greater our faith will be. And the greater that our faith will be, the more that we'll be rewarded in the physical, in the natural, and in the spiritual things of God, the more that our faith will be unhindered. You love Him? You really love the Lord with all of your heart? Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low. Sweet chariot coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming, sing it one more time. Well, I looked over Jordan, what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Sweet chariot coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot coming to carry me home. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Thank you.
10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell.
Appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate our visitors. Appreciate Jim and them coming along to be with us. Appreciate Brother Gary Armstrong's son-in-law, daughter. Talked to him, as I said a few days back. I talked to him about God. And he really took it to heart the day that I talked to him. And I told Gary, I said, there's something good in the boy. I believe the boy wants to find God. I said he was very reverent. No mockery. I've seen him here a number of times, even tonight with his hand raised up, wanting to find Jesus. Appreciate Greg coming to be with us. Thank the Lord for him. I feel like God's doing something for him. Appreciate our brother from that comes from over the store, way across the way over the Terry. Appreciate him coming to be with us. He seems like he really loves God and he wants to do what's right. Appreciate Don being back. We thank God for every one of you. Appreciate our sister back here that's come to be with us. Not seen her in a good long while, and we appreciate her coming to be with us. Sometimes I can't remember the name. I know who you are, but I can't remember the name because maybe you don't come, you know, quite as regular as others. But I want you to know that we appreciate you in the Lord and we love you in Christ. If there's anything that we can do to help you at any time, we'll be glad to help you. Be glad to do whatever we can for you. Let's sing another chorus or two and then we're going to dismiss. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. We're shouting a victory. We're shouting the victory. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. You love the Lord? Let's sing this chorus. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said. For on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you the other side, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side, the Lord to Joshua said. For on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Let's sing this little chorus. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime and Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Well, he spoke to the lame, and the lame could walk. Kind of a man Jesus is. Well, he spoke to the dumb, and the dumb could talk. That's the kind of a man Jesus is. Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Ananias, oh Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. You've got to move, you've got to move, move, you've got to move, for when the Lord
move, you've got to move, you've got to move. They put old Paul in the Roman jail, and he didn't have no one to go his bail. But when the Lord got ready, he had to move, he had to move, he had to move. You've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. For when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. They put old Daniel in the lion's den, and poor old Daniel didn't have a friend. But when my Lord got ready, had to move, he had to move. You've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. And when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Get up out of the ground when that trumpet sounds. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Sing it again. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. One more time. No grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. Cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Let's sing this song. We'll try to close. You love the Lord? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Sing it with me now. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. You know, if the people knew what that meant in the day we're living in, if they knew where we were living, the time of life that we're living in, it would be one of the most staring moments that there's ever been in the history of the world. Never been a time like it. Sing this last song once again. And time shall be no more, no more. Time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time, just one more time. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
I want you to bow your heads with me one more time. God is so good. He's so wonderfully good. They sang that little song, "Time is winding up. Time shall be no more." I'm going to ask Atla to come and pray with you tonight for the closing prayer. Let me say again that it's been my pleasure to have you here with us. And truly something great is happening. Folks, I hope you can be a part of it. I really do from the bottom of my heart. Because it is true. It is something so rich and so great and so wonderful. And I'm so thankful that God has been merciful to me to open my eyes and to let me behold these wonderful things. And I trust that He will do the same for you. With your diligence, with your hunger, with your searching, God can and will do the very same thing for you because He's no respecter person. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Is that someone you? Is that someone you? As Brother Atlee comes to pray tonight, think these things over. Search your hearts and your mind. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Do that tonight, friend, before you leave. And check up and see if you've sold your birthright. See if you've sold your birthright. Folks, esteem this wonderful treasure above all, this heavenly treasure and those earthen vessels. Esteem it above all because time is running out. And in a little while, you're going to seek His favor. You're going to want His favor more than silver and gold. So whatever you do at this moment, consider Christ. Consider the Lord. If you've not given your heart to God, make that great commitment. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that great day. We sing that hour, I need Thee, Lord. In that hour, I will need Thee most of all.